Okay, this is Jeff Walker with ProductLaunchFormula.com, and I'm very happy to have Judd Smith on the line with me. We're going to be talking about merchant accounts, which is really about getting paid, the most important thing with a product launch. It's often easy to do a massive product launch and generate lots and lots of sales in a very short period of time, but you'll find that sometimes it isn't making the sale that's the tough part, but actually getting paid, getting money in your bank account is the tough part. And there's a lot of reasons for that, and we're going to be talking about them. Now, Judd is with PowerPay. PowerPay is a merchant account provider that I use, and I've certainly stressed them before with big product launches. They weren't the ones I've always used. I have had other merchant accounts, and now I'm with PowerPay because, as you'll hear, they very much understand internet marketing and internet marketers and specifically product launches. So I'm very excited. We're going to cover some real nitty-gritty details about how to work, how to get set up with a merchant account provider, and how to work with them and how to, try to avoid any problems with them and make sure you get that money into your account. So with that long preamble, Judd, thank you very much for being on the call with us.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks. I appreciate that. It's always fun to talk about merchant accounts and electronic payments, and definitely looking forward to giving you and everybody listening to this, as much knowledge as I can, as we're on the call. I guess one of the biggest things, Jeff, associated with you is a large product launch. And a lot of merchants today online experience a lot of problems with merchant account providers who, in a lot of cases, don't really understand their business. So it's always a pleasure for me to sort of get through the muddy waters out there and kind of explain how things really work on the processing end, if you will. So I guess if you don't mind, I guess I'll just start talking about sort of the components that make up a merchant's ability to, as you say, get paid. Getting paid is a very, very important thing.
Let me throw one disclosure in here before we get started, and that is, folks, Judd is actually a personal friend of mine. We have met, I can't count how many times, at conferences is how we met, and then we ended up hanging out. We've broke bread together. We've had beers together. And so, maybe we'll even come out with some war stories during this call. War stories about work, not about the crazy times we've had hanging out. But the key is Judd is, like I say, he's a friend of mine, and he's a friend because we've met and we've hung out together. And that's a key difference is Judd, he is part of the internet marketing community. When you get out to events, if you go to a few events, I guarantee you'll end up meeting Judd because he comes out, he's become part of the culture, he's gotten to know us being internet marketers, he's gotten to know who we are, what we're about, and that's why working with him is so different, and that's why the perspective he's going to give us today on this call is so very different from what you would get from your typical merchant provider. Because basically, I don't know if technically it's true, but when you're dealing with a merchant account provider such as PowerPay, any merchant account provider, you're dealing with the banking industry. I'm not sure if they're technically a bank, but it's like you're dealing with a bank. And that world is a little different than the Wild West of the internet marketing world. So sometimes stuff gets lost in the translation, and that's why there's often a lot of issues. But like I said, Judd knows who we are and what we're about. So with that disclaimer, go get right into it.
Okay, well, I guess one of the first things I'd start with is I definitely – I do go to a lot of events, so I definitely enjoy that. There's as you described it, a culture of internet marketers. It's really a neat group of people that go to these events, and it's a continued learning education process that is facilitated not only by being in the event, but I find that a lot of the events inspire future joint ventures with other internet marketers, and those relationships tend to last for a long time. When you meet somebody in person at an event, it tends to have a greater impact, I think, than just doing business on the phone with somebody. So I definitely encourage going out to events as well. And you've got an event coming up here just in a few weeks, Jeff, which I'm sure is going to be pretty exciting. And I think that's what we're talking about today is in anticipation of that event, sort of giving everybody – an insight in how to take electronic payments on the internet. And I guess a good way to start is to maybe start with the three components that you need to be able to take electronic payments, you know, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover. Online, one of the first things that you need is you need a merchant account, and that is something that a credit card processor will provide. They typically will provide an internet gateway, and an internet gateway is basically a virtual credit card terminal. When you see a credit card terminal sitting at your local restaurant that they're swiping cards through, that's a physical credit card terminal. A gateway is more of a virtual credit card terminal, and the fact that you log on to the internet website of the said gateway, and you can process orders manually through a virtual terminal by pushing buttons. But you can also hook that up to the third component that is needed to process cards on the internet, if you will, which is a shopping cart. And typically a processor doesn't provide all three of those. There are some out there that do provide that. But typically your processor will provide your merchant account and your internet gateway, virtual terminal, and you bring a shopping cart into the picture, if you will. There's literally a couple hundred choices out there for shopping carts. A quick Google search will give you any number of them. The critical component is hooking up the shopping cart into the internet gateway. And to sort of sum that up pretty quickly, the internet gateway typically has what is called a secure transaction key. And typically that transaction key simply needs to be put into your shopping cart. Typically a web developer does this for you. And that will enable your payments to be processed through your gateway and shopping cart at the same time. Funds typically will arrive 2 days, 2 to 4 days. It depends. Some processors are on the upper end of 3 to 4 days. We're at PowerPay, we're on a two-day payment schedule. So typically every 48 hours you get that day's deposit later. And it's those three components that make up. I don't know, Jeff, if you know, I should maybe go into this, but there's a few different shopping carts out there that a lot of the internet marketers use. Jeff, do you mind if I talk about particular shopping cart combinations or anything like that?
No, go ahead.
Okay, and I'm sure Jeff will echo this, but. We at PowerPay actually endorse for a gateway authorized.net, which is, we feel, one of the most secure and internet gateways out there today. And for shopping carts, we typically recommend a variation of one shopping cart or Kickstart cart. There's a number of variations of that actually work very well. But as a typical component, we typically work with authorized.net, which has a plethora of shopping carts that can be integrated with within the system.
I've been with Authorized.net for probably nearly 10 years,
yep,
I think.
Yeah, and they've got great tech support, Jeff. And I tell you, that's why we use them, and that's why they're a partner of ours, specifically for that reason. I know one shopping cart also has a terrific customer service and technical support areas, and that part can be critical, especially for your web developer when he or she is putting your site together, to you know, have the right components and be able to have the right technical support phone numbers, you know, associated with integrating that into a specific website. So that was sort of the overview of sort of what goes into, you know, the components that are needed, I guess I should say, for processing electronic payments. I guess the next thing to really talk about is maybe sort of what I would call the beginning aspect of getting a merchant account. The first thing that needs to happen when you are looking to be able to process payments online is you need to find a processor who is a Visa MasterCard processor who will underwrite your merchant account. And the underwriting process with a processor can be anywhere from 1 day to a week or 2 weeks, depending on the type of processor you've gone to. There's a lot of processors out there who will approve you very quickly, but typically any funds that you run are typically held until the full underwriting is done. There's certainly some shops out there that do that. The middle of the range, you're typically looking at 2 days for a good processor to do the underwriting on your account, what you're looking for volume. One of the biggest, I think, misperceptions that merchants have is when they ask for a merchant account. Typically, they've been running they either have a business account or maybe it's a new business account that they've opened, for this particular venture that they're doing. And it can be hard sometimes for merchants to understand that a merchant account is based more on personal credit report, assets, in whether or not you own real estate. A lot of people think that it only pertains to what you've done in business in the past, but it's a combination of both, Jeff. So it's a little bit of both, but your personal credit history and payments can certainly have a large factor in how you're treated as far as pricing with a processor, mm-hmm. and whether or not there's going to be a reserve. In a reserve, basically, is if you are underwritten by a processor, depending on the risk of the account, depending on your credit, having particularly not the greatest credit certainly doesn't disqualify you from a merchant account. What it does is it changes the dynamics in which you're able to process, meaning you may be put on some sort of a extended deposit period. It could be as much as 7 days later instead of 2 days later, like I was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a 5, 10, 20, 25% holding reserve, rolling reserve of the amount of money that you're running or anticipated that you want to run. And typically those are looked at as in 6 month terms. I've seen longer terms, but your typical in the industry is about a 6 month rolling reserve, which means if you're on a 25% rolling reserve on month one and you're doing $100,000 a month, you would have $25,000 held and you would receive $75,000. And basically that $25,000 would be collected each month if you're doing $100,000. And on the seventh month, your first month of processing that was held, the $25,000, would be given back. So it's always a continuous 6 months of reserves that they're trying to hold. And again, the reserve amounts can fluctuate up and down. One thing I definitely talk to merchants about a lot is after history, let's say it's 6 months, a year, year and a half of history, if you've had a pretty large reserve in the past, there's certainly the opportunity with any processor to call them up and simply, ask for a review of the account and see if you can maybe get the reserve lifted or reduced in any event, because in a lot of cases that extra reduction in reserve amount can mean a little bit more in your bottom pocket short term. So I guess that's the underwriting process, if you will.
Okay, and I think there's a lot of key things in there. One is that none of this is cut and dry. It's that when you're putting in an application, and let's just step back, because a lot of the people listening to this, they might already have a merchant account and might want to move to you, or they might just be setting up, and they're anticipating a product launch, which will probably bring in a big surge of income, and whether we're talking about a product launch that brings in $5,000 or $30,000 or $100,000 or $1 million, it generally will be a large surge. So even if they're doing $10,000 a month and they have a substantial business, they might be talking about a product launch that's going to bring in $50,000 in a few days, and so that adds a whole new wrinkle to this.
Right.
But before we even get into that, what I'm hearing from everything you said is that much of this, none of it's cut and dry. They're putting in an application or they're asking for a review, and there's an actual real person on the other end, and they're making judgments based on the business history, the personal history, the personal assets. And there's a lot of different things that could get shaded one way or another, and it could be the rate, the discount rate that they're paying. It could be the reserve, a reserve or a no reserve period. It could be how quickly the funds hit their account, whether it's a couple days or a week. And so there's a lot of different things, and I'm getting that there's they're probably negotiable to some extent, or they're at least, you know, you can ask for them to be reviewed. So, I mean, that's a really, I mean, when it's important for people to realize when they're applying or they're asking for a review that, you know, this is, it's a business process. It's not like, you know, some computer's making a decision. It's a person making a decision.
Right.
With guidelines, lots of guidelines and lots
right.
of experience. But, you know, you have to realize that that's what you're dealing with and present yourself in the best light. And deal with the person in the best light and be respectful. But I also say, you know, remember that you're the customer too. You know, so you don't go there. I don't like to go into these situations cowering. You know, I like to be respectful and professional and give them what they want and present myself well. It's important to understand that. It's just, you know, this is a process you're going through. And it's an ongoing relationship, too.
Absolutely. It's very – that I think that's the biggest key in our business is communication. I personally believe that is – the number one thing that a processor can do is have good communications with all their merchants, but specifically when there's a large launch coming up, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Because in your world, I mean, let's face it, I mean, that is what you strive for. That is your goal, is to have a very large product launch and get paid. So it's critical that when a merchant comes online with any merchant account provider, that they need to be very specific in the fact that, look, I'm looking to sell XYZ. I'm looking to do a product launch. I've been gearing up for this. And I anticipate X amount of volume. It could be more. It could be less. It's critical, even as you do one product launch and you do well, whatever the amount is, it's still critical that your next project comes up, that you call in and you try to get a specific person on the phone that you've dealt with before. With any processor, there's certain people that have power within the organization. They have the power to shut off merchant accounts and suspend you getting paid. So it's always in a merchant's best interest to be on a first-name basis with the risk personnel or loss prevention personnel. In any processor, if they're an actual processor, they will typically have their risk department and underwriting department internally. There's a lot of third-party processors out there, Jeff, that people need to be very wary of in one sense, because they portray themselves as you know, a processor, but in all actuality, they don't do any of their own tech support, they don't do their own underwriting, nor their own risk. So if you're dealing with a third-party processor and you call into them and you want to talk about a product launch, you have to be careful that they don't say, okay, I'll notify that person, because what that means is they may be an independent sales organization, which is a very credible organization. But there's sometimes miscommunication between in ISO, an independent sales organization, and the processor that they're dealing with. The processor is the decision maker. It isn't the ISO. The people that most merchants have relationships with are independent sales organizations. Mm. They're not direct with a processor like us. So it's just it's important that they – if they are dealing with a third-party processor, which it may be a very good third-party, but if the risk is done at the processor level, they need to step up and get the phone numbers for the actual risk personnel who are looking at the numbers, because there's a big difference between talking with somebody on the phone and telling them you're going to do a lot of volume and actually doing volume. Because in this business, I don't want to say merchants are – they certainly a track record says a lot, but when any merchant comes to a processor and says, "I'm going to do $500,000 overnight, or on this product launch, or whatnot," there's definitely some skepticism, but it also raises fraud flags. So I mean, there's kind of a that's why it's important. I guess the root of the story there is it's important to do business with an actual processor, or at least know how to get in touch with the processing risk department when you anticipate a launch. I highly recommend you don't speak with customer service. You speak with the risk department or loss prevention department of whatever processing company that you're with. I think that's the best way to say it, and be very cordial to them. And ask for their advice. You'd be surprised how much you get with honey when you ask the risk department, hey, you know, can I make sure that I've got everything turned on for security settings and velocity settings and all that good stuff? I just want to make sure that I do everything beforehand, all my address verification, you know, settings are set to maximum or you know, I need to take some foreign orders. How do I do that? The risk department loves that, Jeff. So I highly recommend any merchant who's anticipating a lot of volume or is already doing high volume and just, you know, expect some sort of a spike to call in and just advise somebody of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, boy, that's brought up so many questions, but one thing, okay, so one thing, a lot of times when I explain this, you know, the whole idea of a merchant account, and a lot of times people don't understand why you guys should care, you know, why you should care that I've run a whole bunch of money through, and it's because, you know, you're the merchant account provider. I know the answer. You guys are taking on a lot of risk.
Right.
But a lot of people don't quite understand that and don't understand where you guys are coming from and why you have to be careful about this stuff. So could you just talk a little bit about that and why you have to, you know, you have to worry about the risks and you have to be risk averse?
Sure. There is, during the underwriting process, there's certain data points that are collected to determine whether or not a merchant may or may not be a significant risk to us, I guess, or any processing company out there. When we allow a merchant or any processing company allows a merchant to run business, there's an agreement that they're fulfilling what they're charging the cards for. And the risk is that if the product is not being fulfilled, that the cardholder who was being charged has the ability to charge back that credit card charge and say, hey, I didn't receive this product or service. At that point, if the merchant is not financially able to absorb the return, the chargeback, the reversal of the credit card funds, it can potentially bounce from that merchant's checking account. We ultimately hold responsibility, and that's why it's very important during the underwriting process with any processor that you provide to them, you know, any and all documentation to support the type of volume that you're anticipating doing. Some of the larger data points, if you will, when we're looking at an account to determine whether or not they would be a risk, is their credit score. Credit score is a pretty big factor, but an even larger one in some cases can be whether or not they own real estate and then how much real estate. Real estate's a stability data point for us, Jeff. It shows that, hey, this merchant is an individual who not only pays his bills, but he owns, you know, one or multiple properties. In some cases, that doesn't show up on credit reports, and merchants will sometimes have a lot of cash and not a lot of credit. And so in that case, people may send us either bank account statements, or if their house is paid off, they'll send us documentation on that showing us the value of the house. So there's a lot of different ways to sort of qualify whether or not somebody's, you know, worthy of the amount of volume they're looking for. But the bigger risk for us is whether or not the actual fulfillment. And, you know, physical product is one thing, but future services can be another, and that's why, and I'm glad we're kind of leading in this direction now, Jeff, is the loss a lot of times or the risk of a merchant in what they can mean to a merchant provider, a processor, you know, can obviously vary greatly. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it comes down to the return refund policy in exposure. If there's a merchant who's processing $100,000 a month and they have a year-long return policy, after a year they've processed $1.2 million. If they haven't fulfilled their product over that year, the potential, and it's a small, you know, slim chance of this happening, but there's a potential of $1.2 million charging back, potentially, mm-hmm. if they did indeed say you have a year-long return policy. So that's why it's always in the merchant account processors and the merchant's best interest to limit the refund time frame that you have to a 30-day, 60-day. We're not saying we want you to cut it down to nothing, but being clear in your return refund policy is probably the most important aspect of preventing problems with chargebacks and ACH rejects if chargebacks come in and there's not money to be, you know, taken from in the merchant's checking account. So, you know, so the merchant has to sort of realize that, you know, the biggest thing is they can't charge a card unless the product is going out. That is probably the biggest point that I can probably give to anybody either entering the business or who's been in it for a while. It's very clear with Visa, MasterCard, you don't charge the card until you send out the product. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing that and you have a strong return policy, the risk for us – in the other aspect of this, Jeff, and to jump back a bit, I wanted to get into this. A good quality, high-quality product is a real big factor in preventing problems. Mm-hmm. You know, putting out – I don't want to say a garbage product, but – putting out something that is less than stellar with a long return policy, you can be looking for trouble, especially around Christmas time. You know, I've seen cardholders at Christmas time, all of a sudden they're questioning that $1,997 package that they bought at an event, and they're questioning, you know, whether or not that it was product as described. And before you know it, they've got a $2,000 return on their credit card, and they're able to go Christmas shopping. So it that's why it's critical to have a really good return policy and you know, have it spelled out and you know, a good high-quality product. You know, if you're selling – I guess the rule of thumb is if you're selling an expensive high-ticket item, you want to be selling a high-quality product. You know, you can not have a stellar product and have it be a $1,999 product and not experience chargebacks. But when you've got a $1,997 product, and if it's not what you're hyping it to be, or if it's not what it is, and the market sort of, you know, understands that, they can and will charge back, and that's why it's important, and that's how you build reputations too, is by putting out high quality, Jeff, as you do, and how everybody in your group does. That's how you build a business, and yep. And I know you will echo this when I say this, because everybody who's anybody in the industry, I think, lives by this, is that you're trying to build a business. You're not trying to do a one-hit wonder, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably the most important thing, is that, you know, put a high-quality product out there, have a high-quality processor, have a great customer service. And, you know, you can create a business and sustain, you know, multiple product launches over the course of a year. You can obviously come across, you know, anytime you launch any sort of a product release, Jeff, as you know, joint venture partners come out of the woodwork for your next product. They want you on everything. And that's how you can, I don't want to say parlay, but almost in essence, you can almost extend the run of any product launch that you do into future business with JVs and, you know, and becoming an affiliate for other people. So, anyway, I know I kind of went off on a tangent there, but, I love this industry, and I love the culture, Jeff, and it's exciting for me to talk about this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that last point about product quality, I mean, I say the quickest way to put yourself out of business is to do a massive product launch for a really lousy product.
Exactly.
If you've got a lousy product, then a product launch is the quickest way to go bankrupt. I mean, or maybe not bankrupt, but to put yourself out of business, because
right.
Yeah, you build a reputation with your prospects or your clients and with your partners, and
right.
And so yeah, I mean, forget the whole merchant account thing. I mean, it's good business to put out good products,
right.
and And, it's just a pretty simple equation. So, like, the bottom line, though, with risk is that it's almost like you guys are co-signing on a loan with us. It's like if some guy does a product launch and then, you know, he does $1 million and, he buys himself, a Lamborghini and a couple Ferraris and a nice house, and then the house burns down and he wrecks his cars and he skips the country and heads to South America, and then people want to return the product. He's gone, the assets are gone, and you guys are left holding the bag. I mean that's worst case scenario.
Yeah, but, and again, and that's a great point for it, and that's what the underwriting process is for, and that's why a processor will weed out the type of individuals that will do that, because let's face it. I mean the internet marketing community. As a whole, can any one large merchant like yourself, Jeff, can scare a processor because they don't understand your business, and that's the problem right there. We promote us over any other processor, but when we do an underwriting and a merchant is talking to us about a large product launch. There's even with us, there's definitely talk of reserves. We look at the likelihood of X amount of percent possibly charging back. We do things a little bit differently in the fact that, we reach out back into the community, Jeff, and I think you and I have talked about that before. I mean, I've actually called you before and said, hey, Jeff, this particular merchant is asking for, a lot of volume and whatnot, and I don't really know him, and that type of thing. So it's understanding the market and who are the players in the market can definitely, I think you know where I'm going with that.
Right.
Yeah.
But, so basically, Judd knows the score, and he knows who the players are. And he's called me up and said, so-and-so told me they're going to do, they need $1 million because they're going to do this big launch. I don't know who they are. Do you know who they are? Are they going to put out a good product? Can you vouch for these guys?
Right.
Is the way a conversation goes. And it's not an official thing. It's just, Judd, he's got feelers out. He knows people. And he can check up on you, and that means that that's a good thing,
right?
Unless you're a slime ball. I mean,
right.
If you're a slime ball, then go to a different company. But if you aren't a slime ball and you got your act together, then you probably have a few connections,
right.
And Judd's going to be able to track those down. And I mean, that's a great thing. That's a wonderful thing. And specifically, I've sent you a lot of business,
yep.
And a lot of them, are people I can vouch for. So yeah, I know that
right.
guy. I know I've seen this product, and I know he does this, and I know he's got so and so behind him, and he's working with such and such, and he's got this fulfillment company, and So I mean, the thing, and I've told you this before, Judd. It's like, I like to work with people that I know in terms of the people I consider on my team, so to speak.
Right.
And for one. I've mentioned this before. Tom Colzer over at AWeber
yep.
is a personal friend of mine. And so I know that, if I have issues, then I can call up the CEO. I mean, it's not like he's on my team. It's not like he's a paid employer or a contractor or anything.
Right.
But he's someone that, I know the CEO, and so I can get him on the phone if there's issues. And it's the same way with PowerPay with you, Judd. And I know you're a vice president there, so it's not like, you don't have anything to do. You're plenty busy. But, if we ever have an issue, I was telling you this the other day. It's my assistant, was having issues with a payment. I forget what it was, but I said, just call up Judd.
Right.
And it wasn't like I said, call up PowerPay. It wasn't like I said, call up Judd Smith. It wasn't, I just said, call Judd, because they know who you are. And so, personally, I don't know if everyone can just call you up like that, but I feel like, PowerPay is part of my team, and, AWeber is part of my team, and Corporate Disk is part of my team, and it's good to have people that understand the business you're in.
Right.
Because the business, the bank I was with before, they had no clue what internet marketing was, and I mean, I was like the redheaded stepchild type of deal. They're always one. In fact, I told you this the other day, is when I released Product Launch Formula, it was the first time I sold a product at a $1,000 price point. Up to then, I'd sold products up to like a $700 price point. And when we came out, you know, we contacted them ahead of the launch and said, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. This is the product. This is blah, 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 $1,000. And they came back to me and said, you know, I'm sorry, you can't have a $1,000 product.
Right.
And I said, boy, I've been with you guys for about 9 years now, and, you know, I've done all this volume. I've done these launches. You can see these traffic spikes or these volume spikes, blah, blah. And, you know, I've had, in that time, I had two chargebacks. In like 8 or 9 years, which, you know, I think you can vouch for, is a pretty low number, and they said, I'm sorry, we can't help you, we can't underwrite, I don't know if that's the right term, but we can't approve a $1,000 sale, and so, you know, that's, you know, I had to go somewhere else, and I mean, I'm like, with all this history, and they just didn't understand. It's like, why would someone pay $1,000 for a bunch of books and CDs? No one does that.
Well, and see, that's just it. It's fear of the unknown in our business. And I say this being on this side, if you will, but, you know, in our business, processors take real losses, Jeff. So, mm-hmm. There is a shoot first, ask questions later. Mm-hmm. There are certainly times when you will call up your merchant processor, or they will call you during a large launch and ask what you're doing, and, geez, I called you yesterday. Well, we didn't anticipate this much volume. We're going to shut your account down because we don't understand what's going on. If it's not that, it's, okay, well, you know, why don't you keep running your business? Yeah, no problem. And, you know, they let you run for a few more days, and then they don't pay you anything for 6 months. And that can be devastating to not only somebody who's running their own product launch, but if there's any sort of, affiliate partners who are helping to market the product to send traffic to you or anything like that, if you need to pay them, it could put you in a little bit of a difficult situation, to say the least.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly.
So, awkward anyways.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, what Judd's saying is you do a $100,000 product launch, that was all generated by partners, you owe $50,000 in commissions, and all of a sudden your merchant account says it's going to be 6 months till we give you your money. Meanwhile, you owe your affiliate partners $50,000, and they don't want to wait 6 months.
Right.
And I know there's some very big-name, prominent internet marketers that I personally know that have been caught in that bind.
Yep.
And in fact, ahead of my launch, my last big launch, I went and I got a big, just in case that would happen, I went and got a major line of credit with my local bank, just so if that happened, I could pay my partners. But, and it's something, you know, some of you might, I mean, you could use a home equity loan to do that if you wanted.
Yep.
But so now we're getting into the real meat of this here. It's like if, first of all, let's talk about what you should do ahead of the launch. Say you've got your merchant account now. You're all set up, and, you know, maybe, and hopefully you're running some money through just to start to create a history there. But whether you are or not, you're coming up on your launch. Let's talk about the things you should do ahead of your launch to try to make it as smooth as possible.
I think some of the first things that you should do is make sure that your sales/order page has the appropriate refund return policy clearly written, so that it's visible. So if you have any chargeback issues, you can simply respond back to Visa, MasterCard with that sales order page. I would make sure that your complete name of business, address, and customer service business phone number is clearly printed on the bottom of the website pages. This is before you call the risk department. Get this done, call the risk department of the processing company you're working with, and then start in with the planning for the volume that's potentially coming. I would definitely not start off the call by saying, "Hi, I know I'm a new merchant. I've been with you for 12 days, and I'm going to run $500,000 tonight." You don't want to start it off that way. You definitely want to go at it with a little bit of a different approach. I definitely recommend calling in indicating to the risk department that when you came on, you talked with underwriting department potentially about a launch for a product that you've been developing, and that you're on the eve of it, you're getting close within the next week or so or 2 weeks, and that you'd like to just verify that the risk department knows, because there's usually a disconnect in most processing companies between underwriting, maybe not communicating. Oh, geez, that's right. I did talk to him about a product launch might be potentially having coming up. So letting them know and then talking about anticipated volume may in fact bring up underwriting questions again. So be prepared to answer questions at that time. And with some processors, I've actually seen at that point a review of pricing and reserves on the account. If at that point, they determine that they're a little bit nervous about the numbers that you're saying, they may in fact at that point come back and say, we've actually got a new rate that we might give you because we're a little bit worried about this, or your reserve might be X more percent, something like that. I definitely would not at that point, if they're willing to work with you and the cost isn't cost prohibitive, I would recommend staying the course and not trying to deviate and bicker with them back and forth about a little bit more reserve or a little bit more in rate. Let's look at the bigger picture. I guess I've seen some product launches with other processors fall through, Jeff, because they waited to the last minute and wanted too much, and the processor said, we want a 40% reserve because we're nervous about this. And I've seen the merchant say, I'm just going to walk away from this. And I've seen product launches canceled and put off for weeks until they found a new processor. So it's just real important that get the website in shape, make sure your fulfillment center has all the product ready to go, and that as soon as you start taking the cards, that the fulfillment center just starts, mailing that stuff out. Making sure as well and letting the risk department know beforehand that you will be getting signatures on delivery. That's huge for the risk department, because that shows that you're delivering your product, and fulfillment is like 99% plus of what goes into taking a card, is making sure that you fulfill whatever product or service you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So one of the things that in my experience has been, like, I tell people, start talking to them a month ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know something that has to happen. It's like, I know it's happened to me. You call, it happened to me with my fulfillment company, actually, and you tell them, I'm going to do this product launch. I'm going to sell, 1,000 of these things or 500 of these things, or you call up a merchant account provider and you say, I'm going to I'm going to run $500,000 through, and they're like, yeah, right. I've looked at this guy's business record, and the guy's run it out of his basement, or maybe they don't know that, but they know it's a small business, and this guy's never going to he's dreaming.
Right.
So one, they're not going to take you seriously, but two, a lot of times you end up talking to the wrong person. You end up talking to a customer service type person, and they're not the risk person or the underwriting person, or whatever. So
right.
What are the magic words to make sure you're talking to the right people?
Some of the magic words is I would ask for, if you're looking to do a large launch, you want to go with the highest people you can. I mean, I certainly would ask for the director of risk or the risk supervisor.
Okay.
If you're having a tough time getting in touch with them, I would, at that point, I would ask to speak to the director of underwriting.
Okay.
or the supervisor in underwriting, because those departments should work fairly closely in most processing companies. I know they do here.
Mm-hmm.
And typically the directors of both of those departments speak on a daily basis, if not hourly basis, different accounts and stuff like that. So that's really where you want to focus, is with the directors or manager or supervisor of the departments. Don't speak with an analyst. They can answer questions, but again, in most cases, they're not the ones who make decisions on what your projected volume are, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. And is there anything you would suggest to get people to take you seriously? In terms of, you know, you know you're going to do some big numbers, but to get them to believe you and to actually, just take you seriously.
Right. You've got to speak with the right person. You've got to get them on the phone, and you have got to make them understand that you know people who have done other launches, other product launches, and they've you know, citing examples is a good thing. Citing the fact that there's a mentor of mine who had a six-figure launch 2 weeks ago. He doesn't process with you, but you know he did $700,000 in 2 days or that type of thing. You know, definitely getting their attention with examples of other products. You know, it's funny. You know, even bringing up I've actually had people say this to other processors. Have you ever heard of John Reese? Have you ever looked at TrafficSecrets.com?
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's kind of an eye awakener to some people, you know, because they just don't have any, you know, they've never been exposed to internet marketing, and so it's, I've seen some processors still even at that point say, okay, well, you know, and it's like, well, you know, John was one of the first guys to do $1 million in 1 day in credit card processing sales. Oh, and then typically, you know, a processor will go, oh, okay, well, I understand that, but again, I mean, you kind of clued in on something though, Jeff. It is difficult for a processor to comprehend and take you seriously. And it's funny, not to, you know, it's funny, we've sort of, well, let me go back. One thing I learned a long time ago, Jeff, was that you can never judge somebody by what they look like. And it's amazing how a lot of processors, you know, when they see young entrepreneurs, internet marketers, you know, 20, 21 years old, coming in and wanting to sell, you know, a couple $1,000 products with no track record, you know, most processors will just outright decline them. You know, it's you know, because they figured there's no way this guy can do this. There's got to be something more behind it. There's risk involved with it, et cetera, et cetera. But there's, you know, there's a younger and younger group coming out now that understand internet marketing, that you would – some of these kids, and I don't mean to say kids, but some of these younger adults have immense knowledge in internet marketing. And all it takes, Jeff, and I know you know this, is a small niche that you discover.
Yep.
To just, you know, to just start raking in some large amounts of volume. So it's I've actually seen some processors look, I don't want to say down their noses at younger merchants coming on board if they want to do a lot of volume, because a lot of times they'll base it on history and, you know, how long have you been in business. So that can be a little bit of a struggle as well, is taking a merchant account processor taking a younger, you know, non-established credit type individual, meaning they don't have any real estate, you know, and we're talking about merchants that maybe want to do $20,000-$30,000 a month, which is a decent amount of money for any marketer, you know, let alone, you know, a young adult, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's funny. I've seen processors make decisions on, you know, even though they're not supposed to, you know, they look at it more of a, I think they give younger marketers more of a risk flag than they do an older marketer.
Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to remember, I mentioned this earlier, it's when you're dealing with a merchant account provider, think just keep in your mind that you're basically dealing with the banking industry and you know, people that put on suits and ties every day. But and that being said, you know, this is, and this, you know, I hope people are getting this from our conversation, but if they do deal with you, Judd, and with merch and with PowerPay, you know, you're dealing with people that understand us and have seen product launches before.
Right.
So, you know, you call up, if you're talking to Judd and say, I'm going to do this product launch, and it's going to be this price point, and I've got these people that are going to have already agreed to promote for me, so I'm thinking, you know, $300,000 is a slam dunk, and I might go to $500,000, you know, Judd's going to take you seriously.
Right.
So that should go without saying. If people aren't getting it already, then you're not listening closely enough. Okay, so So now we talked about like before the launch, and one underlying theme to all of this is communication is king. You can never communicate too much.
Right.
In a sort of a fast-moving situation, a situation where, you know, there's some very definite uncertainty, which is what a launch is and what your relationship during the launch, your relationship with your merchant account provider during a launch will be like, you can never go wrong by communicating too much.
Right.
So ahead of time, you know, I said start communicating a month out, and I'd say keep on following up right up until the day before launch and maybe the day of launch. Okay, now all of that being said, now let's talk about what happens. First of all, and I know we're sort of running out of time already. We've got maybe 10 or 12, 15 minutes tops. But what are the bad things that can happen during a launch? In other words, the two bad things that I know of are either your account gets shut off or you get frozen. Your funds get frozen, and then after we talk about that, then we can talk about what to do when you get the call.
Uh-huh.
And so, just real quickly, what are the bad things that happen?
Well, you can certainly get your account shut off, suspended. I mean, that's certainly the biggest thing. But the second thing is, I mean, if you get in trouble with your merchant account, you can be put on what's called the TMF list. And that is the Terminated Merchants File List. It's a list you don't want to be on.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's a blacklist for our industry, for the processing companies. So that's kind of the worst case that can happen is that you get put on the TMF list. You get stuff that goes against you. You got people chasing you for money, that type of thing. You know, certainly getting your merchant account shut off or suspended during a product launch can be a pretty devastating thing. First off, you can miss out on future sales. You can, mm-hmm. you know, people get a little aggravated at some point when they're trying to buy your product and they can't. Your order page is down. So you know, I hate to say on a least worst case is, you know, your account gets suspended. On worst case scenario, your account would be suspended and you would be put on the terminated merchants file list. And that could be because your product was really bad and you had a lot of chargebacks. You're running too many refunds. If you have a 100% refund rate, you're going to be in trouble too. You know, there's certainly situations out there that can result in different variations of being shut off and money held. You know, there's some situations where you may get money every 30 days over the next 6 months. I've seen money not given for 90 days and then some money given. So there's always some variations of when money gets held as well on when it's given back. So whenever that is done, and you kind of referred to it as the call earlier, if you ever get a call from the risk department, you certainly want to full disclosure, full compliance, whatever they ask for. You certainly want to give it to them as soon as possible and in the most cordial manner, I guess, as possible as well.
Mm-hmm. So now the couple times I've run into issues, I haven't ever gotten, my account shut down, but I've gotten I can still process orders, but they're going to hold my money. And generally the way both times it's happened to me is that, you know, we're going to give you the first X number of dollars. Like at one point, I think my credit limit, my monthly processing limit was $70,000.
Uh-huh.
So they said, we're going to give you your first $70,000, and anything over $70,000, we're going to hold for, and they held it for 90 days. I know a lot of times it's 180 days, but I got uh-huh. them to agree to just 90 days. And then after 90 days, they gave me the money. And that's happened to me a couple times. And that, wasn't devastating, because the first time when I had that, I got the 70 and I wasn't using affiliates. So I just had to wait 90 days for I think it was another $35,000.
Uh-huh.
So that to me is like, it's inconvenient. If you have affiliates, it can be a real problem.
Right.
But, it's not like you're you can't process any more orders. Because if you get hit with that, then, you know, you're scrambling to take in, you know, your launch is aborted.
Right.
You're dead in the water until you come up with some other way to get paid.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a whole continuum of what can happen, you know, I guess. So let's talk about, you know, I refer to it as the call, because I've gotten a handful of those.
Yep.
And that's like, it's going to happen, and it's sort of like clockwork around, you know, it's usually my time around 1 to 3 p.m. of launch day, and you just ran a whole bunch of money through, and you get a call from your merchant account provider.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, hey, I just saw you running a whole bunch of money through. I just wanted to figure out what's going on and see if we've got a problem here. Because, you know, theoretically, someone could have stolen some credit cards, and, you know, they're running all kinds of money through your account, and they're trying to scam you. So, you know, the first thing is like, is there a reason why this is happening? And then they're going to want to know, you know, at that point, well, first of all, like, one of the things I'm a big believer in is, like, if it's the day of your launch, and maybe you didn't sleep much the night before, and you've got, you know, phones ringing off the hook with people that want to order your product, that, you know, accidentally put in two orders, that ordered through the wrong link, that gave you the wrong shipping address. You know, you got a lot going on already. Your customer service people are scrambling, phones ringing off the hook. You know, maybe your server even went down. You got all kinds of things are happening that day. You know, you're trying to get your sales letter, all the typos out of your sales letter, and all of a sudden you get this call, which is a critically important call to your business.
Right.
And the one thing I advise people is to don't just go jump on that phone when you got, you know, this huge adrenaline surge going. I generally will not take that call. Let whoever answered the phone take a message, let it go to voicemail, and then I'll go find a quiet place, and I'll sit down, and I'll start to collect all the data that they might need on that when I talk to them, and I'll do a little meditation, get myself focused, you know, find 10 minutes of quiet time, and then I'll call them back. So I'm not making them wait, you know, until the next day. You don't want them waiting. You don't want them wondering what's going on, because remember, communication is key.
Yep.
But you don't want to be jumping on that in the wrong state of mind either.
Right. You definitely want to be prepared when you call, with a clear mind a little, you know, as much as possible. Being in front of your computer, possibly logging on to your gateway, authorize.net, you know, maybe having access to your bank account statements, you know, anything that they may ask for on the phone, it's in your best interest to say, oh, yeah, geez, you know, let me get that right over to you, and just kind of have it at your fingertips. I guess that's the biggest thing. You know, and also have your fulfillment company's number handy. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, your processor may just want to call them directly. Make sure that your products are, you know, being shipped out in a timely fashion as well. So I guess, you know, the big thing there is just, you know, whatever they ask for, certainly provide it. Do not be combative in any manner. You know, if anything, if they ask you for something that you can't immediately provide to them, you know, acknowledge to them what they're asking for and relay it back to them that you will get that to them, you know, no later than, you know, tomorrow morning or something like that. You know, maybe, you know, after bank hours or something like that. So whatever it is, whatever you say you're going to do, do it. That's the biggest thing. If you say you're going to call somebody at 10 o'clock in the risk department and you don't call them, you know, you can start having, you know, your account can be shut down. It can be put on 100% reserve, that type of stuff.
Yeah, so be professional. Be courteous.
Yes.
You know, be efficient. The stuff they might want to know would be, you know, what you're selling. You know, when you will fulfill it, if it's a physical product, who's shipping it, how it's being shipped, you know, is it going FedEx?
Right.
Like, and you mentioned this earlier in the call, that it's being, whether it's being signed for.
Right.
You know, they will want to know the ship method. They will want to know whether the person getting it is signing for it.
Right.
They will want to know how much stock do you have on hand.
Right.
You know, do you currently have stock on hand, and are you shipping it?
Right.
How long does it take from when you get the order to when you ship it? What method are you shipping it? Can you give me some of your, give me 10 or 20 of your clients' contact information? Because we want to just call them up and make sure that this
they ordered it.
Yeah, that they actually did order it.
Yep.
You know, also, what are the plans? Okay, you just did $100,000 in the last 6 hours. You know, is this going to keep on going? Is it going to go? You know, are you going to sell? You know, can I extrapolate this out? $100,000 in 6 hours. That means $400,000 in 24 hours. Is this going to be your ongoing rate?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that will. You know, if people think you're going to do $500,000 a day, forever, then you're in a whole different risk profile.
Right.
So, all of these things. The more information you can give them, the better. You know, they will absolutely want to know the return policy. And this is something like for instance, I know on one launch I initially wanted to do like a 90 or 120 day return policy, and my merchant provider didn't really like that, and so I ended up going with a 60 day return. That doesn't mean in the future you can't change it.
Right.
But you know, for that initial big huge surge, then that's what they're looking at. You know, if it settles down and you end up doing $10,000 a month, well, they might be a lot more receptive to a 180-day or 65-day
policy. Exactly. Yeah, history is a big thing, Jeff. It absolutely is. And you know what else is even a
better thing is if you are an existing merchant and you've been in business for years and you're looking for a new merchant account provider. Typically, your merchant account providers, we ask for your last 3 months of credit card processing statements with your past processor. That says a lot to us. If you voluntarily submit 6 months or a year to us in a year's worth of bank account statements without us even asking, with limited, you know, asking, and it's on the spot the next day, processors love that. You know, if they don't have to beg for something and ask for it, I think that's the biggest thing. It's just, you know, try to anticipate a little bit, you know, what they could be asking for. It's either going to be bank account statements or merchant account statements. Those are two of the biggest things that any processor asks for. So having those readily available and able to send to them that helps with your history. So not only from an underwriting standpoint, but the risk department as well will see that you submitted a year's worth of previous processing statements with your last processor. That's pretty huge as well. Is not only the history that you're going to build, but showing your past history, not just telling us, but showing your past history through some sort of documentation. That's huge.
Wow, that's a huge tip that you just gave.
Good.
That's a monster tip. You know, sometimes simple things like that. You know, just doing what you say you're going to do. And, you know, really over-delivering here, even in your communications, that can be that's a huge tip.
Right.
So let's I think we got to wrap it up here. But before we go, let's at the beginning I said all kinds of great things about you, Judd. Been with you guys for 18 months or longer, coming up on 2 years.
Yep.
I love dealing with PowerPay. They are one of my highest recommendations. They do understand product launches. They understand internet marketing, and if for no other reasons, those are two of the greatest reasons to go with them. And so I know that if people just go to your website, they can't even apply. You don't even have an application anywhere for them. People sort of have to come to you through a referral. So I have set up a referral. It's PowPay, PowPay.biz. That's PowPay, PowPay.biz. And if you sign up through there, that is like an affiliate link. So if you do $1 million launch, I think I'll probably be able to buy a cheeseburger. You know,
maybe some small fries.
So I mean, I get some minuscule percentage. It's certainly not enough to sway me to recommend these guys.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to put my reputation on the line, you know, to push people to something I don't completely believe in. The key is if you go through there, Joe's going to know where you came from. He's going to know you came from my link. He's going to know you're a product launch formula owner.
Right.
He's going to know that.
Important.
Yeah, that you're in my family, and that you're coming through me.
Yep.
So, you know, if you don't have a provider, or if you have one and you want to get to one that's possibly a little friendlier to internet marketing and product launches, I just highly, highly recommend Judd. And I also highly recommend if you go to, you know, Judd Offen's hosts. I think for his clients, when he goes to seminars, he'll host a like a reception with like really, really good food and top quality beers and stuff.
Yep.
And so definitely look Judd up next time you go.
Definitely. Definitely. Always enjoy meeting anyone, Jeff, who's involved with you and any of your product launch series, if you will. So absolutely. I don't think I may or may not have mentioned this, Jeff, but we have no application or setup fees as well. A lot of processors out there, that is part of the way they make revenue. But it's typically a third-party processor that does charge us. So just to let anybody know, anybody that comes in through your link, there's no setup fees or application fees, which typically can run $200 to $400, depending on. And again, this includes the gateway setup as well. There's no setup fee for that as well.
Excellent.
So, I throw that out.
Yep. I know. I've paid. I think I paid $300 one time.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Cool. Well, Judd, I really appreciate you taking the time.
Hey, you're welcome.
You gave a lot of critical information that most people don't know, or if they, you know, I know a lot of this stuff through hard fought experience.
Right.
But even, you know, I picked up a lot of tips, like that idea of giving more information than was, you know, expected or
right.
asked for. That's just a killer tip.
Absolutely.
So thanks so much. I know you're on vacation right now. You took this time out of your vacation, so I really appreciate that.
No problem at all, Jeff. No problem at all, and I hope your event goes off great in a couple weeks.
Well, thanks a lot, Judd.
Yeah.